Hi, welcome back. We are the FPL Experiment. Three friends with one target to create a fantasy football team that will finish inside the top 50,000 teams. So we said at the start of the season that things are getting harder as far as fantasy football is concerned. This season, definitely testing us. Let's discuss game week 8 and our plans. So this game week, we've been forced to lie to you. We've been forced to lie to our listeners. I will leave this up to you to decide whether or not this was pure carelessness or potentially within the ranks of the FPL Experiment management team. We have a saboteur in the ranks, a rotten egg, if you like. So I'll just explain this from the top just so that you don't hear any lies. So we recorded the podcast last Thursday and decided between us to do three transfers to bring in Son and Bamford and Struick. Those of you with a keen eye will have realised that I didn't post our team on social media. And that's quite weird because we always post our team at FPL Experiment, just in case you don't follow us already. So straight after the podcast, the following happened. The news reached us that Castagna was injured. And this is Greg's story as far as I understand things. So Greg thought that he was looking at his own team, which to Greg is his own personal team. And despite the fact that the two teams look completely different, one's got Grealish and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the other one's got Havertz and Ollie Watkins. Despite that, despite Greg knowing he's just recorded a podcast with us on the FPL Experiment, he goes onto his phone and transfers Castagna out, puts Chilwell in. Now, Nick, I'll start with you before Greg. Last week's episode, all of it was a lie. We had to lie to our audience. Normally, even at the start of this podcast, we talk about your eating habits first. And I'm really sorry that we haven't brought that up first. Nick, anything you would like to say to Greg?
I knew instantly that it was sabotage. There's no way it was an accident. He didn't like our transfers, so he threw his toys out the pram and he put in the players that he wanted. It was filthy.
Greg?
I was tired. I wasn't very well. I'd seen that Castagna got injured. I thought, you know what? I'm going to sub him out straight away so I don't need to think about it for the rest of the week. And then I went back to my team later and realised I just subbed him out of the FPL Experiment team. I even sent you a voice note. And you could tell from my voice, I was genuinely worried and genuinely scared that you two were not going to talk to me for at least a day.
It did actually sound like you were on the verge of tears, which, you know, could have been fake, but we'll never know.
Not until we actually you cry, then we'll actually know.
I jumped out of bed. I was like, Joe, you're never going to guess what I've done. She thought I'd like done something really, really bad. She didn't really care when I told her.
It's a fantasy football team, babe. Come on, who cares? Go to sleep.
He did seem slightly delirious when we were recording. I still think there's some ulterior motives at play.
It worked out all right.
To be fair, two good things happened. One, actually, your transfer that you did got us more points because we would have taken a hit and because Son blanked. And so that was fine. Our team actually did okay. But the other good thing that happened that I really enjoyed was that Leeds got absolutely pummeled by Leicester, and Vardy, who you've banged on about all season, was the man to absolutely do one over on you. And I really enjoyed that. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. And I've saved that moment until now.
Yeah, you've been weirdly quiet about that. I've not enjoyed the last few days at all.
So anyway, that's the start of the podcast. Let's talk about the thing that everybody really cares about in every podcast. Nick, what did you have for dinner?
Oh, actually, I'm glad you asked. I had a beef rendang curry. Yeah, I know. I found it in the freezer. Don't know how long it's been there. But a lot of our listeners will be disappointed to hear it had two carbs in it, potatoes and rice. So
double carbs.
Yeah, I'll be paying for that in the morning.
Start lockdown as you mean to go on. Right. Anyway, let's crack on. The average score last week was 53. Our score was 70. So I was quite happy actually with how things went, especially because Greg had tried to sabotage. So I'll be honest, for me, the weekend was quite tense because if Son had banged, that would have been really irritating, but he didn't. So our overall rank now is 832K. We had Kilman that scored us points, Chilwell, Dallas with a really weird goal, Salah, Grealish, Kane, Dominic Calvert-Lewin all did well for us. So 70, I think, is a good score. I think you're always aiming to hit around the 60 point. And then if you did that every week, you'd know you'd have a pretty good season. So 70 looked pretty good to me. We'll get into some game week picks really soon. Firstly, let's discuss a couple of takeaways from this week's action in game week 7. Greg, what's your takeaway from the last week of football?
Mine's very simple. To double check, to triple check everything. And then if in doubt, Just ask Gadaminka to do something.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Greg. We won't continually bring it up or, you know, call you a rotten egg or anything like that. Nick, how about you? Takeaways for this last game week gone.
Right, going back to why I play this game is to enhance my viewing of football, right? It's to make games more enjoyable. But I think I overthought it with Rashford last week. After all my chat about how good he was, I was determined to get him into my own team. And I did. He let me down. I was livid. And I switched the game off halfway through. So what I'm saying is, don't get too het up about your team. Play it to enjoy it.
That was a terrible game, though.
It was.
Oh my gosh. Really, really bad.
Paul Pogba is so bad, isn't he?
£100 million for Paul Pogba, apparently.
Just lost again tonight as well, boys. 2-1.
Shocking stuff.
In terms of goalkeepers, as a game week pick, Greg, who would you choose this week as a goalkeeper for this game week?
I've gone for Mendy this week. I think he's got that air of authority about him that Kepa just doesn't have. He's a good shot stopper. He's commanding in the area. Most importantly, his defenders, look, they appear to trust him as well. So I think this week, he's a very safe option to go for your goalkeeper. He's got 4 clean sheets in a row. You've got Kepa, who's had 3 consecutive clean sheets in 98 games for Chelsea, compared to Mendy, who's got 5 and 6. It's just ridiculous.
Nick, how about you, goalkeepers?
I've gone for Leno for Arsenal at home to Villa. So Arteta has actually turned Arsenal into a formidable defensive unit. They've conceded the fewest goals this season so far and the fewest shots on target. And Villa, although they are scoring well this season, I can see it being a tight affair.
Yeah, I thought Arsenal actually looked really good at the back in that United game, although it was a fairly poor game. The defending in that game was really decent. I don't know if either of you have got Arsenal defenders that you're looking to recommend, but certainly I could think that there would be a couple that might come up. Newcastle seem to be doing well at the back, and Darlow is creeping up as far as points are concerned, and they play Southampton this weekend. Southampton obviously without Danny Ings, and I think without Ings, they might not be as good. You always look at teams with their talisman, so could be worth looking at Darlow, but the only thing for me at 5 million, there might just be better options out there. Like Greg said, Mendy. I've gone for a couple of Chelsea options at the back. Strangely, you popped Chilwell in last week. I think he is a great option, Greg. And I think Zouma as well is doing really well. I think Chelsea are the lowest for expected conceded goals in the division. So they look great at the moment. Interesting one, Nick, with your Man City choice last week, because Cancelo played again and he looked... Well, City defenders, after this Liverpool game, certainly look like they could be worth investing in.
Greg fully poo-pooed it, said he wouldn't even play. And it turned out he was actually the first City defender to create 5 chances in a single half since Kolarov in 2012. If he can nail down that spot, I think he would be a great, great pick.
Do you think we could start turning the podcast into some kind of drinking game? Because we've just got a poo-poo in there.
Bundesliga is coming up soon.
Aside from the obvious Chelsea players, I've gone with Cresswell. He's the 8th highest scoring defender. They're at home to Fulham, and you know my thoughts on Fulham. They're absolutely pants. He's only got 7.5% ownership, and at 5.1 million, I think he's a bit of a bargain. He's returned points in 3 of the 7 games this season. He's on set pieces. Interesting stat as well. I'm throwing stats around left, right and centre today, but Squawker has said that he's played every minute of Premiership football this season, and he's yet to commit a foul.
Are you trying to make up for what you did to the team last week, sabotaging the team by bringing a hell of a lot of stats tonight? I mean, I like it.
I've really prepared. There is a little bit of a caveat to that, though, if we're going to go with a West Ham defender, because Masuaku has got nearly twice the expected goal involvement than Cresswell, and he doesn't even have set pieces.
Midfielders, I mean, it's so obvious to look at Chelsea assets at the moment, and I'm going to say Ziyech, a goal, an assist at the weekend, 5% owned at the moment, or just over now. And since the start of last season, Ziyech has been directly involved in 30 goals in 40 matches in all competitions for both Ajax and Chelsea. 11 goals, 19 assists. And I'm not sure what's going on with Pulisic, but surprise, surprise, it looks, and there are rumours that he might be injured. I've not seen the lineups for tonight, but I'm pretty sure I heard that he was injured. So Ziyech looks like a good option. Chelsea got good fixtures as well.
Havertz has actually pulled out the squad with COVID tonight. So that should mean ZX spot is even more secure, I would imagine. I've gone a bit left field, and I've actually gone for Fornals from West Ham. They've got Fulham at home. He had a good performance last time out, goal against Liverpool. He's also had a 12-point and a 9-point haul this season in previous weeks. He's their top scorer, West Ham. He's playing a very advanced position. Fulham looked okay last week, but I'd expect him to come unstuck against West Ham.
Let's say you were going to wildcard during the international break, which is coming up after this week. Would you consider, just for a one-week punt, going for Aubameyang? Because I would think a lot of people would punt, and he's got Villa. Villa's defence seems to have collapsed. Nick, would you have a look at someone like Aubameyang? Maybe someone else?
Definitely. If it's for 1 week only, it's a decent fixture. Although Aubameyang hasn't really been that involved in Arsenal's goals recently. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I'd definitely have a go on him.
Not what I asked. Greg?
Nah, I don't like Arsenal at the moment as an attacking unit. I just think they're devoid of any creativity. So I don't even think it's worth a one-week punt.
Who would you potentially look to go for? If it was a one-week punt midfielder this week?
It's a one-week punt midfielder.
I don't know if your signal's gone or if your brain's gone.
No, I'm thinking. Sorry, I'm just it's thinking who would I do? Aside from the obvious, which I, if it's a one-week punt, you go Son, don't you? Easy. Away at West Brom, they're just so pants. They're so awful.
Son away from home as well. He's done so well this year if you look at those away fixtures. How about attackers? Greg, who would you fancy as a striker this game week?
Well, he's now injured, so I had Ings probably for the third week in a row. But
probably don't pick someone who's injured.
Yes, I'm not going to pick Ings now. So I did a little bit of last-minute research. So I've gone back to my favourite boy, Wilson. He's just so consistent. He's up to, 53 points now, sitting third in the highest striking scorers in the league behind Kane and Vardy. Southampton as well have not beaten Newcastle in the last five Premiership games. Four wins out of five in that run as well for Newcastle. So I think they'll be riding high after that Everton win. And I think they'll surprise Southampton, who will be very blunt after the loss of Ings.
Premiership, there's another one for the drinking game. Nick, how about you, attackers?
Obviously, I was really keen to get Antonio in. I'm still not sure if he's going to make it for this week. So the obvious one is Kane. I actually went for Werner at home to Sheffield United for all the reasons we've said already. They've got a nice attacking unit. I think he could get in amongst the points again.
Any Bundesliga viewpoints on that?
No Bundesliga things about Werner. But do you know what I really liked? I liked in the last game against Burnley, when he scored his goal, he didn't really celebrate. Because that showed me that he's calmed down a bit, because those first couple of games, he was so keen to impress. And I thought, yeah, that looks like a striker that's just in his groove. He just kind of looked across like, yeah, that's what I do. I just score goals all the time. Just like, it's just, that's me. I'll just score goals.
Like when you first go to your school disco and you do a knee slide in front of the girls after having shed load of Cherryade.
No, I don't know anyone that's ever done that, no.
Nah, me either.
No, that's a very individual story. I had Callum Wilson down as well. I think Southampton without Ings, that could be a big blow to the confidence. Vardy's worth looking at. His fixtures in a couple of weeks turn. They've got Fulham, Sheffield United, Brighton coming back to back. So maybe it's not Vardy yet, but at the same time, maybe you could try and jump on before anybody else. In terms of our team for this game week, Martinez in goal, Chilwell, Lamptey, Robertson and Dallas across the back, Sterling and Salah with Grealish in midfield, Calvert-Lewin, Kane and Bamford as well. There are some options on the bench as well, Jorginho, Kilman and Bissouma on the bench. Nick, are we going to allow Greg to have a say this week as far as transfers are concerned? Because obviously he had a pretty bad week last week.
I think that should be his punishment. He can sit on the naughty step for a week, no say, and we just take control. Is that a democracy? I don't know. Greg, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, to me, it sounds like a dictatorship, but yeah.
Nick, what are you thinking in terms of transfers for this game week?
So I have down here, get Jorginho out, and I've got two options for you because I know you probably won't like one. I've got Harrison from Leeds, which I think is the one you'll like. He is, in all the key stats for midfielders, he's in like the top five. So chances created, key passes, assists, he's up there. My left field choice was my midfield pick of Fornals just because he's got incredible fixtures. He's got Fulham at home, Sheffield United away, Villa at home. They're three very leaky defences. He's in great form. We've got the exact money for the move, which I always like because it's like it's fate. It's bang on, it's meant to be. I just feel like the stars have aligned for him, but I appreciate you might not enjoy that.
Greg, what would your input be? We might not listen to it. It depends if we like it.
If I had a voice this week, I wouldn't make any subs whatsoever. I would roll the transfer. I think we don't need to make a sub for sub's sake at the moment. That first 11 is good for this week. I don't get excited by Fornals coming into the team at all. Harrison, absolutely, bring him in. Start him every week. But I don't think we need to make a sub. I do have a niggle. You alerted me, shall we say, to the prospect of maybe switching out Sterling. It's been playing away on my brain for the last few days, and I was probably going to sub him out of my own personal team pre-Havertz getting COVID. So now he's got the Rona, I'm going to have to make a different sub. So I don't necessarily think Sterling is the beacon that he should be for us right now. And given West Brom away for a one-week punt, it could be good to get Son in place of him if we are going to do a sub this week.
Is that something that people in your team at work say, the young'uns, the Rona? Is that something you're trying to get on their level? Yeah, I say the Rona. Yeah. I'm not, it's just an old dad.
I'm trying to think of something witty to come back with.
Oh, come on, brain, work! So, Nick, with Fornals, I have absolutely no interest in Fornals. Part of me that maybe I'm doubting is that maybe it's due to a bit of a lack of knowledge around Fornals, but I'm also not a huge fan of West Ham assets. Like, if Antonio, I'd be on board with if he was fit, but Fornals isn't doing much for me. As far as Harrison is concerned, we've already got Bamford.
And Dallas.
Yeah, you've even mentioned this before. Why would we want double assets from Spurs, for example, which makes much more sense because they're probably a more reliable Premier League team.
The only reason I would make an exception for Leeds is that they're also cheap, and they're, I know, you know, last fixture aside, they score a lot of goals. So you don't have to play them more every week. It's a bit like how we have or had three Brighton players. I don't feel like there's a huge risk by having three because you can bench some of them. But equally, those transfers weren't shouting out to me. So I'm happy to roll it unless you have any other ideas, Ad. I'm keen to hear what your thoughts are.
Sterling has been on my mind. What could we potentially do with Sterling? Maybe it's De Bruyne. He obviously is an amazing asset and I do like him, but does it make much difference changing him for this week? Son, I think if you go for him, then the 2 weeks afterwards, they've got very tough fixtures. So to be honest with you, I was thinking go into the international week when potentially there will be injuries that follow, or potentially we'll see a couple of players that are in form, but also we'll get the opportunity to watch United at the weekend with Martial back to see how Martial and Rashford perform, come back after the international break. We've got two transfers to play with a bit of money in the bank, and maybe go from there. It feels really dull.
So the international break also exposes a lot more people to potentially getting coronavirus as well.
That's a good point.
I really like De Bruyne. It could be good to get him early while a lot of people still can't move the cash around to get him. But I think doing it this week is a little bit unnecessary with a relatively tough fixture. I think the sensible thing and the boring thing is to roll it, and then we could potentially move Sterling next week and use the cash to upgrade a couple of players.
Are we all feeling that?
I'm feeling it.
Let's do it, guys.
Nick, how about a captain selection for this week? Is there anyone that you would consider other than Harry Kane?
No.
Harry Kane against West Brom. I think the only thing for me is that everyone will be selecting a Spurs asset. So it could be a really good opportunity to gain points, but then it could completely, well, it could be a stupid decision. Greg, how about you? Captain decision for the week.
My head says cheat code Kane, but my heart says Salah. I don't know, it's just tough this week because I do think Salah, and I do think there's goals in that game. I don't think they're going to blank each other out as much as people suggest. It's probably better to be safe this week with Kane. I don't think this is the week to be playing around with crazy captain choices. So yeah, cheat code for me.
Yeah, I fancy Kane as well. I think the problem is at the moment, City are playing quite defensively. So there is a chance that they could perform really well against Salah. And that's maybe just playing on my mind ever so slightly. I mean, I agree. You don't know what's going to happen when football's the way it is at the moment. So it could quite easily be a 4-3 or something like that. But Kane seems like the obvious choice.
It's the most informed striker versus the least informed defence. So like it's obvious, right?
Yep. Let's talk about differentials. We have a differential league table running. It's got a new look to it. This week is week one of results. So Nick went for Lookman. Didn't really work out that one. Got 2 points. Greg went for Jack Harrison. Got 6 points. I went for Ziyech. Dirty decision. But he got me 14 points. The new rules are this, though. These are the rules. You need to be owned by under 5% of teams, and you need to cost under £8 million to be considered a differential in our new league table. Who do you think was the best differential this week?
Oh, JWP, James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, now in 5% of teams, but it was Ward-Prowse.
Those free kicks were lovely.
Would you consider bringing Ward-Prowse into your team?
I wouldn't say he offers that much apart from set pieces. He's like an all right midfielder. I don't see him creating a load of chances or anything.
Yeah, you're really relying on those free kicks, aren't you? Anyway, let's talk about game week selections. Nick, you go first for differential.
I'm going to get some Fornals in my life somehow. So 1.1% owned. For all the reasons I've said before, he's my man. This is where I finally get more than 2 points in a week.
Who are you going for, Greg?
Notice you couldn't stop smiling and talking through your teeth when you were talking about your disgusting Ziyech differential last week as well. So I hope you're happy with yourself.
I'm happy because he fits the rules. It's the rules of the game. He completely fits the rules. That's why I was smiling. Because I play by the rules. That's me.
Integrity is integral. I've gone with a West Ham midfielder as well. I've gone with Bowen. 6.3 million, 2.2% ownership. At home to Pants Fulham. Yeah, he's my choice this week.
Do you know what? I'd actually selected the same. It's actually very difficult to choose somebody who's owned by under 5%, under 8 million, and fits in with the fixtures. So West Ham were the obvious choice. Because we chose the same, I'm going to go for Souček. So we're going triple West Ham.
Nice. I like that.
Amazing. He's actually in my own personal team. So I don't know if I like the decision or not, but he's only owned by 2.7. I thought everybody went for Souček at the start of the season. So we've gone West Ham heavy. Fornals, Bowen and Souček. Watch Fulham absolutely smash West Ham. Any other business that you would like to bring up at the end of the podcast at all?
Can I just ask that you don't fall asleep tonight and you actually make the substitution? Oh, no, we're not even doing a sub, so I'm just going to stay well away from the team.
Was that a point that you made, or was that just a jumble of words? What was that?
Just delete it out, mate.
So, the FPL Experiment team will be on the FPL Experiment Twitter and Instagram pages, providing that Greg doesn't cock things up again, at FPL Experiment to see the team.
Can you do the little jingle for my mother-in-law so she knows the pod's ended? These chocolate bars that are like vegan chocolate bars are next level. They're called Nomo. Oh.
What, nicer than normal chocolate?
Yeah. And it's guilt-free.
What do you mean? They just don't put calories on the back?
Well, no, there's no cows that have died making it.
Cows don't die from being milked.
Well, it depends how hard you milk an udder.